Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and I'm bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Buck Keeley. And we're going to be talking about gardening and about soil preparation, about fertilizing, about all of these things that I think are important for people to know about. And certainly, of course, I was an orthopedic surgeon for so many years and done talk radio for many years. And I'm learning a lot just talking to Buck. Hi, Buck. How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. And yourself?
I'm doing just fine.
Great.
Well, let's see now, Chris. Is any gardening going on now, or is this the time to just start hunkering down and getting ready for the spring?
Well, it depends where you're at, how hard you have to hunker in the weather. But it's a time that gardening is year-round. And so this is the time of the year where you're preparing for next year's gardening for most of the regions of the country. And after talking to a lot of your listeners, I'm discovering that many of them are doing their first time gardening, or they're novices and have never taken it serious, or they're old farmers that are returning back to the land. And so there's a lot of things that they have not yet learned, or they have learned and forgotten. I thought maybe we'd talk about some of those tonight.
Well, why don't we do that? And I just want to ask you about squash, about these great big summer squash. Is this the time that they're harvested? We know that this is the time pumpkins are harvested, but what about those big old banana squash and things like that?
Yeah, the winter squashes that are now coming to maturity before first frost is a good time to harvest those, or right after the first frost, the old wives' tale about the frost on the pumpkin is the end of the growing season, and so you go out and you gather your winter squashes and pumpkins, and this is a good time to do it, just right before or right after the first frost. And once you get those in, you want to store those in a cool, dry area, a root cellar type environment, or in a room in your house that's not occupied, that you keep closed off from the heat vent. And they will keep, some like the Hubbard squash, an acorn squash, will keep for months. The banana squash, the same thing as well. And you can dig those out of your root cellar, out of your storage room, you know, into March and April, and have fresh vegetables. And so this is a great time to harvest them. So where you're at, you probably don't get frost out at Monterey, and so probably when you want to harvest yours is as the close leaves to the squash begin to die back. And a good time to pick them off and put them in cool storage.
All right, fine. And then you just sort of leave them there. Should they be dark, or should they just be cool?
A cool, dark room.
Okay.
If you have a room that you don't use regularly, put them in the closet and shut the heat vent off. It'll keep fine in there.
All right, fine. Well, now, what are the things that we should start thinking about in preparation for next year? Because, of course, gardening is something, and especially growing vegetables is something you do every year.
Yes. If you're contemplating putting in your garden for the first time this year, or if you've let your garden go by the wayside that's grown over, you need to prepare that soil now so that next spring you'll have some good matter to work with. And there's a lot of ways of doing it, but the way I prefer is what some people refer to as lasagna composting or layered composting. And basically what you do is you take newspaper and cardboard, and it's better if it's ground up or if it's tore up, and right on top of the grass or the weed that's grown up there, lay down about a half inch to an inch thick layer of that and wet it down real good. And then lay on top of that about 4 to 5 inches of cow or horse manure. As we talked about on the program earlier sessions, that horse manure is the least desirable choice because of the potential weed seed growth. But that's all right if that's all you can get. And then on top of that, lay about a 6 or 8 inch layer of either straw, or if you can find a farmer that has...
Hold that thought here. All right, go right ahead.
That, as I was saying, if you can find a a farmer that has some hay that's gone bad in the field is ideal because it's already started the composting, and lay that on top of the.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Preferably ground-up newspapers is shredded newspapers, and what would you have, about 2 inches of depth of that what?
Yeah, about a half inch to an inch of that for that initial ground cover.
And then, of course, how much manure would you put in there?
2 to 4 inches.
2 to 4 inches, and then on top of that, you put a straw, and then on top of that?
On top of the manure, either straw or rotted hay.
Okay.
And that'd be your last layer. Of course, you can layer again if you want. That a lot of people will layer up a foot and a half high, and then they'll till that what doesn't decompose into compost, they'll till that live organic material into their soil, and it just augments the soil and makes it a looser soil. So you can't overdo it. But the minimums would be, a half inch to an inch of newspaper, cardboard, and then 2 to 4 inches of manure, and then on top of that, 6 inches of hay or straw.
All right, very good. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Now, you said that you wouldn't even uncover it. Would you put a tarp over the top of it? What would you do?
Well, if you're flat gardening in an open area, put a cover crop on it. Clover is a good cover crop. Red clover is an ideal cover crop, or some type of grain, wheat seed or oat or something like that. That actually what that does is when you put in these winter crops to cover, it keeps the soil from eroding and holds that soil down in the winds and the harshness of winter. And then you just till that right back into your soil, and you've got a good organic matter you've put in. in raised beds, as we were talking about a little earlier, you can do the same basic thing with raised beds. You can lasagna compost in the winter on those to keep the soil covered up and add that organic material into the soil. Or you could as well sow the cover crops on it. But on the raised bed, ideally just put down, like we talked about, a layer of newspaper or cardboard on top of it, and then some hay and manure, and then work it in the spring. You add that to your soil, and you're building your soil like that. And at the same time, you're keeping that soil from eroding and breaking down with the harsh winter seasons and the wind blowing away once it dries out and those kind of things. And container growing, usually it's just best to dump out the soil and start over on those. It's hard to build soil that's in a container because you pretty well have drained it of its nutrients. And so if you'll drop it down, your containers into a pile and add compost into it and other base elements, and mix it together and put it back in the containers is the best way to handle that.
All right, fine. And so basically then, of course, we're getting ready to hunker down for the winter time. And now, do you put any fertilizer into this, or do you just wait until you're ready to do the planting?
Yep, that fertilizer is to feed the plants, and your compost and organic matter is to augment your soil. So I wouldn't fertilize. The nature of fertilizer is as the soil leaches its water, those nutrients leach out with it. And so I would wait until I put my garden in before I fertilized.
All right, very good. Well, now basically then we're looking forward. When would we get started, say, putting our tomatoes? Now here, because I live in the Central Coast, that's a pretty nice area because we don't get any frost. But I'm sure lots of areas they do. They usually start the tomatoes, other things like that, indoors beforehand.
Yes, that this is time you start planning for the region you live in, for what that you're going to start either in greenhouses or you're going to start in makeshift greenhouses. And like we talked about last time we spoke, that a greenhouse is not necessarily a complex, expensive item. That you take a couple of window panes and lean them into an A-frame, and you've got a basic cold frame greenhouse where you can advance grow. But for tomatoes and peppers, most folks are not aware these are tropical plants. They're not native to America. And if you're not in a tropical area, such as in the southern regions of America, you can't just put the tomato seeds in the ground and get the plant mature enough in the growing season to produce any amount of fruit. That the average tomato plant has somewhere between 55 and 75-day maturity, which puts you at 2.5 to 3 months before you're going to gather any fruit. And so if you have a growing season that's 4 months, that you're not going to gather any fruit off the vine. So you have to start those in greenhouses or in supplemented areas in your home where you have, you know, full sunlight and heat control. And you want to plant those about 6 weeks. You want to start those starts about 6 weeks before your last expected frost date. And you want to, if you're starting those 6 weeks before and you don't have a light source, you want to provide a full spectrum light on top of them. And that's a very inexpensive thing to buy now. Growth lights used to be very expensive, but you can go down to your local electric store and they'll have a full spectrum fluorescent light. And you put that right over your plants where they're almost touching the plants, just an inch or two above it. They won't burn the plants because they're 18 watt. They put off very little heat. And that'll keep those plants from stretching, getting leggy. They'll make them grow wide rather than tall and grow good stalks. And then once you get those up to 6 weeks, you can put those outside to harden them off for a week, bring them in at night times if there's a chance of frost, and then plant them in your garden. And you'll have superior plants to anything you can buy that's being grown in a production nursery. But on top of that, it's hard to find heirloom seeds that are coming out of the nurseries. That way you can control your food supply and you'll get a lot better plant. For an example, you buy a package of tomato seeds from us. There's 25 seeds and they vary from $1.85 to $2.05. You're going to get 25 plants for basically $2. It's going to cost you 10 cents a plant. If you go buy a 4-inch pot plant at the nursery, you're going to pay around $2.50 to $3 a plant. And so it only makes economic sense to start your own tomatoes and peppers. And it's easy to do, and it's fun. If you got kids or grandkids, what a riot is watching my grandkids work with us this week, get the plants planted and watch them break the soil and watch them grow. They have a ball. It's a real treat for them.
Okay, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Buck, because Chris, he's into this. He sells seeds, fertilizer, all these things. He's been doing this for how long? Have you been doing this, Buck?
Well, I was raised in the garden. That it's been a way of our family for many, many years, and have been involved in agriculture-based businesses off and on through my life. Probably the first time I was involved in retail was in Maine in the early 80s. The seed catalog, the heirloom seeds, where we saw the need for our own selves to provide these non-GMO, non-hybrid seeds, where we actually got involved. This has been a little over a year and a half now, to where we've been handling exclusively the heirloom seeds. And it's kind of awakening for us when we begin to see what was happening to the production food supplies, to realize that they are altering our plant matter with animal and human DNA, not knowing what's going on long-term with that, and then realizing that the seeds that we were planting were not renewable. We couldn't gather those. We tried to plant some tomato seeds. We had this great tomato, and we tried to plant those tomato seeds, and we came up with this scraggly-looking plant that didn't resemble anything like a tomato plant. And that's when we realized that if something was to interrupt our ability to get seed from the store, we were really in a lot of trouble. And that's when we started turning our attention to how can we become more self-sufficient? How can we have a renewable, sustainable life that is not only healthy, but it's honoring to our Creator, that it's not something we've tried to alter. And so we've been doing this for about a year and a half now, and I love it. I've met some really wonderful people who have the same concerns, that have the same goals in life that we do. And so it's been a real venture for us.
Well, I think people have to realize that the world is changing. It's changing very rapidly. I mean, we can see what's happening over in Greece. And what are they talking about there? They're talking about austerity. Mrs. Merkel, the Premier of Germany, gave a speech about 10 days ago. She said that people are going to have to get used to lower living standards. There's going to be austerity. And Kirsty Richard Haas, from the President of the Council on Foreign Relations, writing in Foreign Affairs last November, December, talked about the coming period of austerity, as did Mortimer Zuckerman from the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. The people who run the world are creating a feudalistic society. Basically, they're lowering the wage standards, and more rich people are getting rich, and more of the poor people, they're lowering the living standards. It's part of the establishment of a feudal type of society. People sort of say, can't really believe that, but if you have a copy of Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, page 324, he will tell you that the bankers, central bankers, get together on a regular basis in secret meetings and plan on establishing a feudal society. Now, he wrote this in 1966, but he understood what this is about. You'll find the same quotation from Professor Quigley in my little pamphlet, The History of Money. Read what these people are planning, long-term planning. What's going on today is part of this. The rich are going to get richer. The poor are going to get a lot poorer. The average is 50% of our people make $26,000 a year or less. Basically, I think we're going to see the buying power of that decrease. And you're going to need to know how to look after yourself if we're going to survive, or are you going to have to work with your neighbors? You're going to have to learn all of these things that you never had to learn before, because we're living in a different world. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Buck, let's get your telephone number out and your website.
Our website is seedcatalog.com, seedcatalog.com, and our phone number is toll-free 888-866-9132, 888-866-9132.
And, of course, if you can't remember that, I didn't get it down, just go to my website, radioliberty.com, scroll down on the homepage, and you'll see where it says seed catalog, or you'll know that it's Buck's website. Click on that, and you'll be in touch with it. Well, Buck, what about, buying worms? Do we need to buy worms? Let's imagine what we're going to be probably container growing. We could take all of the earth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Garden, and of course, if you're using a raised garden, something of that sort, why, of course, you would raise your a worm separately, and you just feed them paper or feed them whatever you have there that to give them, and they'll eat it up, and they'll pass it through their bodies. And the excrement here is just talking about how the marijuana growers, you know, they want, because they're trying to get the biggest crop that they possibly can. They're pretty smart people. And, of course, what they'll do is they'll use the worm excrement, and they'll, of course, get their marijuana plants all big and lush, and they know how to use the worms. Certainly, worms are one of the most important things you can do. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Buck, certainly on this whole idea of learning how to garden. Well, where would you get worms? Would you buy them? Would you go down to the store someplace and buy them? Or would you buy them over the Internet? Or how would you get them?
Believe it or not, there are thousands of people who sell worms. It's a large industry. And they're readily available. If you live in an area and you could go to and Google it on the Internet, and you'll find them broad-based. But if you go to some regional, like we have what we call Joe's List here, which is a local Craigslist where they have local buyers out there. But go on Craigslist or someplace like that and search for worms. You'll probably find somebody local to you where you can buy them. You buy them by the thousand. A pound of worms is 10,000 worms, and it's not that expensive. I don't know, $30 or so for 10,000 worms. And it sounds like a lot, but that's really not. It's a pound of worms. It'll fit into a coffee can. But the little red wigglers are the best ones, and there are people who make their living composting municipality garbage with worms, organic matter from cafeterias and from food supply areas, school systems, and they're paid to haul that off to feed their worms that they see sell the casings from the worms from. So this is a very large industry out there, and it's something worthwhile. If you're going to be an avid home gardener, you need to have a supply of material to augment your garden, and that's a good way to do that. A lot of people who raise rabbits, they just keep worms in the pans that they take the rabbit pellets out from. And the worms love rabbit food and produce a high-quality soil augmentation. So those kind of things that, you know, the homeowner can do on his own. You'd mentioned the austerity that America is. A lot of people are thinking we're going to see the horizon this thing. We're on a downhill run. There's no horizon. And we need to start preparing to have our own resources. And that means not just have seed, which is, I mean, you need to have seeds for whatever you're going to do, you need to have seed. But you need to have the knowledge to do something with them that produces. And then you need to have the products at hand, if you're going to be sustainable, that you can augment your soil. And worms is a great way to do that. We keep chickens and rabbits and worms and all. It's the cycle of life. Everything we feed them basically comes off of our property. Our animals are free range, and then the fertilizer they produce goes to the garden, and we grow grain for the animals in the garden. We feed the animals, and the animals feed our garden, and we eat off the animals and out of our garden. And it's a cycle that people need. In the 30s, everybody knew how to do, but now it's almost a lost art that we depend on the big box stores and other people to provide our basic survival needs. And there's going to be a time if you don't know how to do that, you're going to be hurting. You're going to be dependent on other people, and you're going to have people that's dependent on you, and you're not going to be able to help. And so one of the things your show does for the general population, I think it's a wonderful thing, is this warning. You're the Paul Revere riding through saying, folks, it's not going to get better. And if you're going to do more than just survive and maybe not even do that, you need to start preparing now your life to be in order to the world that we're going to live in. And it's not going to be the one that my parents was raised in. It's not going to be the one that I was raised in. It's going to be a world that we have no idea what it looks like. We know it's going to be different.
Well, it's going to have to wait and see, but things are going to get a lot worse, that's for certain. The people in charge planned this. We saw what they did intentionally to a first world nation like Rhodesia. And, I mean, this was a prosperous nation of 12 million people, certainly had no racial discrimination, a prosperous for black and white, Not today. Half the people have fled the country. The people live in abject poverty. We put Mugabe in power. He wasn't elected. We just simply placed him in power. And simply the election, somebody else won. It wasn't all right. Henry Kissinger put Mugabe in. Today, the people live in abject poverty, and many of them are starving, are going to other countries just for food. Could it happen here?
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Number and tell people how to get your website and tell them a little bit about some of the charts and things they have on there so that they really need to know what region there is, because that'll determine when they do their planting. And this is really has to do with the weather. So in the southern part of the country, you can plant much earlier. Northern part, you have to wait until later till the frost is gone. Our telephone number, if you have a question on this subject, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if there's anything you want to know about planting, this is a good time to get it. In fact, there's so much to this. Most people don't even think about worms, how important they are in this cycle of life. And of course, something our parents, our grandparents understood, and they knew. I can remember when I was growing up, my dad was raised on a farm, so we, even though we lived in the city, we always had a couple of chickens running around in the backyard. Of course, the neighbors started to complain that we had to get rid of them, but it was fascinating being raised in that situation with rabbits and the whole thing. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Start thinking about how you would survive if you went down to the supermarket and there wasn't any food or fruit there. How would you survive? Well, Buck, get your telephone number out, your website out. We'll see if people have any questions for you.
All right. My phone number, our toll-free number, is 888-866-9132. 888-866-9132. And our web address is seedcatalog.com, seedcatalog.com. And you can also get to us through Dr. Stan's site by clicking on Heirloom Seed on this main page. So if you go to our website, there's a lot of interesting information about GMO seeds that I would take time and read, give you an idea of what's going on with the world power, that even where that food is going to be used as a weapon and as a power base. And there's a lot of interesting articles there. But to go inside the store, click on Shop on Seed, and that'll take you inside the store where you can browse around and look. And Dr. Stan, you just mentioned what would happen if you woke up and there's no food at the stores. Well, we have a full venue how that you respond to that. One of the first things every one should learn to do is to sprout seeds. Seed sprouts are high in nutrition. They're high in vitamins. They are a life-saving source of nutrients, and they're easy and they're quick to produce. That you can produce edible, tasty sprouts in 3 to 5 days. And so the first tool in the toolbox of survival, if something interrupts your food supply, is sprouts. Immediately you can have something to eat that's fresh, new, and renewable. And so we sell sprouting kits and sprouting seeds that go along with that. You ought to be sprouting today to learn how and to enjoy the food. And if you eat sprouts, it's pennies on the dollar to grow these yourself, and they're absolutely no trouble. And we provide the instructions how to do that. The next thing you need to have is a seed bank. You need to have a reserve of seeds so that something happens that you can't get seed from the store, that you have seeds on hand. And so we sell two basic seed banks. One is the personal seed bank, which will plant about a half acre of a cross-section of our seed that is heirloom seeds that are non-GMO. They are not heirloom seeds. They are, every seed we sell is a heirloom seed. And it'll plant about a half acre garden. Then we sell a basic seed bank, which will plant about an acre garden. And everyone ought to have one of these, and after a year or two, plant that one and buy another one. Keep them fresh. They'll keep up to 20 years, but every year the germination rate will reduce on the seeds. And to keep the highest germination, you ought to, just like changing out the fuel in your vehicle, you ought to change out your seed banks. And then we have also the option to build your own survival seed bank, that if you spend $50 or more in seed, that we'll provide you the seed bank where it comes sealed in Mylar, 4.5 Mylar packaging that's impervious to water and insects, and then sealed inside a tri-wall PVC pipe that could be either buried for temperature control or thrown in your freezer or refrigerator to keep the seeds much, much longer and a higher germination rate. And then we sell what you'll see on our front page we call value packs. And so for a reduced amount of money, you'll save about 30% by buying a pack versus picking out single packs. We prepared an urban garden. We prepared a small city garden, a large garden, and then we also have put together tomato lovers pack, a pepper lovers pack, and herb lovers pack, to where you can click and buy those and get them at a reduced price versus buying them one at a time. And so you ought to have then seed that you're going to plant. So you ought to have the sprouting seeds for immediate food. You ought to have a seed bank for that just in case. And then you ought to have a garden that you're putting in the ground. And these seeds can be gathered. They are sustainable and renewable if you want to go to the effort to regain these seeds.
All right. Well, let's go to Barbara, who has a question. And our telephone number, once again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Barbara. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. And Buck, in the area where we live, which is, it's a fairly moderate climate, I find that spinach grows extremely well in the winter months. Are there any other vegetables that would match that?
Where do you live at, Barbara? What state?
California.
Oh, in California. So you're in a zone 6 or 7. Yes, that in a lot of the regions, except for maybe zone 2 and 3 and down from zone 4 to where you're at, tomatoes carrots are an excellent winter crop. They do very well. Radishes, beets, your lettuce, as you mentioned, will grow as well. And rhubarb grows well. Spinach is excellent. Kale is excellent. They'll all grow well in your climate this time of the year. And everything besides where you're at, besides tropical plants, your tomatoes and your peppers, will do well in your region most year round. Salinas Valley basically grows every vegetable year round there, okay, because the amount of sunlight that they have and the amount of heat is conducive to it. So you would do well putting in basically your basic root crops and any of the green crops, and they will do well.
Okay, because we live a little closer to the coast, so it's not quite as warm as in down in Salinas area. But again, I do know that they grow just everything all year round down there, and we find ourselves very fortunate, because you go back east and you go into a grocery store and you look at where a lot of these vegetables come from, and it says, Salinas.
Salinas Valley is one of the three areas that all lettuce in America comes from.
Absolutely, but boy, if it was that transportation was ever cut off in any way, those areas would really be in trouble.
Absolutely, and along with that is the transportation cost rises. In order to get fresh vegetables, it's going to skyrocket in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to live in Monterey, down by where Dr. Stan lives years ago, and we grew stuff year-round. And so it's a good growing environment. Like I say, everything besides your tropical plants will basically year-round, and that would be your root crops and your green crops.
Okay.
Thank you, Barbara.
Great. We'll give it a try. Thanks, bud.
Okay. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment, because this is an opportunity to get your ideas, Sydney, making your plans now. Basically, of course, when the spring comes, would we put our squash in, at the same that when we first do our planting, would we put the squash in later?
Well, if you, when you go to the website, if you have availability to the internet, each one of the categories on the left-hand side, beans, broccoli, cabbage, whatever it is, will have, when you click on that, a link that will tell you what zone you live in, and will tell you then as well what planting date. That squash, summer squash, is an early plant. As soon as you get the first threat of frost away, you plant your squash seeds. And you'll have squash within, depending on which variety you plant, but 30 days or less, you're going to have fresh squash. Ideal time putting just as soon as the first threat of frost is gone. That's an early plant. That your potatoes will go out about 2 weeks before last frost, if you're planting potatoes, root crops, obviously, because it's going to take a while for that potato eye to come up and break ground. This is the time of the year now, if you're any place down zone 2 or below, that this is the time of year you ought to be putting your garlic in right now, because they go through the first frost and put on nice heads after that. And so you put your garlic in now. So that depending on where you live and what you're planting, there's some things you'd be putting in now. The first thing in the springtime you put in a garden is your lettuces, your radishes, your turnips, and your beets. All of those are frost hardy, and if they get a light frost on, it won't hurt them. They'll come right back from that. After that is your squashes. And after that would be then your tomatoes and your peppers.
All right, fine. And then, Chris, how much heat do you need for those peppers? You have to have a fair amount of heat to grow them well?
Yes and no. For hot peppers like your habanero and your chili peppers, they really like a more intense, dry, humid heat. And they'll produce a hotter and a more bountiful harvest in the southern zones. But your sweet peppers, what a lot of people call bell peppers or green peppers, the sweet peppers actually do good at moderate temperatures, and get beyond that first frost and put them out. And even if you don't get temperatures that hit 90 degrees, they'll put on a wonderful harvest. But they're more in tune to the hours of daylight than they are in the intensity of the sun. And so where we live up in the northern regions, we're in southern Oregon, which puts us actually that we're in a wonderful growing zone here because we're in a donut hole, and we're actually zone five. But our neighboring areas are in zone four. But we get lots of sunlight here. That we'll have sunlight at 5 o'clock in the morning. It'll be light at 10:30 at night. And plants love long sun. And so if the peppers, one of the things they like is lots of sun and not necessarily the intense heat of the sun. And so the peppers will grow well in the more moderate climates like where you're at. They'll grow fine in Monterey. That they like the sunlight and will do without the heat. But if you want to grow some hot habaneros or jalapeno peppers, the southern regions will have a lot better crop and a lot hotter crop off of them.
All right, fine. Now, basically, of course, for the average individual, we're not necessarily out on the farm. What about getting your manure, things like that, down at the big box store? And they even have compost there for the person who doesn't have the facilities for developing their own compost. Is that a pretty good product?
Well, it depends. And once again, it's like when you go down to the big box store and buy produce. We don't know where it comes from. That most people don't know that about 70% of all garlic comes from China. So when you go to the big box stores and they're selling compost or manure, we don't know where that's come from and what's in it. If I was going to buy my manure, my compost, I would go down to a local nursery, not to big box stores that sell plants as a sideline, but I'd go to a local nursery and talk to whoever that owner is and find out what's the best organic fertilizer he has, the best organic manure he has, the best organic soil augmentation material, rather than going to the big box store to do that. But, the container growing, that I do a mixture of container growing at my place, even though we have square footage, is something as simple as going down to one of those big box stores who gives away their pallets. And get one of the pallets and put weed barrier cloth on the back of it, fill it up with soil, put plants in there, and in a couple of weeks when they're growing, stand it up sideways on the side of your house and grow squash and cucumbers and beans. I mean, you don't have to have a yard to have a garden. You can garden on your patio. You can garden on your driveway if you're a little creative without investing any money building anything or buying anything. So that if you're going to use the big box stores, use it for what they throw away, and then go to a good nursery and get the product you're going to put in there.
All right, fine. Once again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we're just talking about the things that you need to start thinking about and need to start making your plans. And we don't know when we're going to not be able to get things, and let's hope that it never comes to that. All we need to do is look and see what the establishment has done to Zimbabwe. Mm. And basically it's a tragic tragedy. Here is the first world nation, prosperous, and today it is totally destroyed. They did the same thing to the Congo. Certainly when the Belgians controlled the Congo, it was prosperous, and there was roads and hospitals. And today, of course, the roads are gone. There's just nothing but a little remnant of the paving. It's all gone. There's no hospitals. The 3 million people have been slaughtered there. Certainly, there is no stability. It's tragic for the people. And there are many places in Africa just like this. They're doing the same thing in Uganda. Why are we bringing our troops into Uganda? Why are we sending American troops there? To support the dictator. To support the dictator, the fellow who runs Uganda is a dictator, and basically he's working in conjunction with many of the large corporations that are going in and taking the land away from the people, and the people are a little unhappy. They've lived there for generations, but they don't have a deed to the land. Well, who in Africa would ever think the tribal areas would need a deed to the land? And they're seizing that land and buying it up for corporate farming, and the people there are extremely unhappy, and so we're sending our combat troops in, of course, to help the military. put down the aspirations of the people. But, of course, you're never going to read that in a newspaper here in America. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, if we are doing this and taking the land away from the people over in Uganda, these poor people who have never had much of anything, do you think that they wouldn't do similar things here in America? I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and God brings his judgment upon nations that turn against him. And is there any question that America has turned away from God? I mean, in the military, military chaplain is not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We can't mention God in our schools. We can't mention the Ten Commandments in our schools. Well, basically, our children are being brought up with the destruction of the religious beliefs. Why would this happen in a Christian nation? Because America is no longer a Christian nation. We're in for some very, very difficult times. Telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Buck, one more time, your telephone number.
Our telephone number is 1-888-866-9132. 1-888-866-9132.
And, Chris, we'll be back right after, which William Craig will be with us the next hour.
Blessings to you.
Well, Buck, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us. Buck, are you there? Oh, my goodness.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
How does it come about? Well, all of our atheists, nobody can explain why these things come about. They just come about, and when you try to pin them down on it, they say, well, evolution, or maybe it came from outer space. I remember Richard Dawkins, this great atheist, when asked where life came from. And, of course, his remark was, probably from another planet. This is the leading atheist in the world. I think he teaches at Cambridge. I think he teaches at Cambridge University. And he leads the world atheistic movement. And when asked where life came from, his remark was, from another planet. But where did the life come from on the other planet? Well, but if you haven't seen that wonderful DVD with Ben Stein, it's called Expelled. You need to see it. And it talks about what happens to the scientists in our universities who questioned what they have been taught and questioned this idea that evolution is a fact. Of course, it isn't. You need to find out that they don't have any academic freedom in the universities. If you dare to differ from the official position taken by those who hate God, why, of course, you're going to lose your university position, even if you have tenure in many instances. Well, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there listening to us across America and you agree with us and we're involved in a spiritual battle, and, of course, the common denominator is a hatred of God and a hatred of everything in the Bible and the hatred of truth and righteousness and morality, then, of course, we do hope many of you will decide to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You must understand they've infiltrated many of our churches. They've infiltrated the seminaries. That you'll hear things on Radio Liberty, or the guests we put on, you'll never hear elsewhere, because the media in America is controlled by six major corporations: AOL, Time Warner, Bertelsmann, Sydney, by Viacom, by Disney, by General Electric and Comcast, and certainly by Rupert Murdoch. And they all tie into the Council on Foreign Relations. And, of course, this is all covered in a book called The Media Monopoly. And, Sydney, we hope to have copies of that available for you in the very, very near future. We have so many books. Go to our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, and, Sydney, look at the books and the DVDs and certainly the videos that we have, that we offer there, the four CD sets. Get this information, and you hope that you'll copy this and get it into other people's hands. Things are moving very, very rapidly. People know something's wrong. That's what this Sydney Occupy Wall Street movement's all about, but nobody's explaining to them who is really behind the control over Wall Street, our banking system, and they do not understand the Brotherhood of Darkness. So if you have not read my book, you need to get it. It's called Brotherhood of Darkness. And you get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you want a more extensive book, you can get Ted Flynn's book, The Hope of the Wicked. The Hope of the Wicked, because these people are wicked. You need to get my talk on the dark secret, my talk on the forbidden secret, and the syllabuses that go with both of those. You need to get my a DVD on the best enemies money could buy. Going into the background, my interview with Professor Sutton, going into the background of how we finance communism, we finance the Nazi movement, we finance certainly the North Vietnamese all during the Vietnam War, because that's where Professor Sutton really got into trouble. The last thing they wanted was the American people to realize that we were financing our enemy that was killing our men, and now, of course, we are turning the whole of the Near East and the Middle East over to the Muslim Brotherhood. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to go to our website, watch our DVDs, listen to our radio programs, read our newsletters, and then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking to William Craig. And I got an interesting letter today, certainly from one of our listeners and supporters, that, who told me that he certainly was so pleased that I had was getting William to write our monthly newsletter, and how much he'd enjoyed my newsletter. But I'd made such a good choice about getting William Craig to pick up writing our newsletter because he was enjoying the newsletter so very, very much. And I thought that was a nice tribute. It was unsolicited. But obviously, William, people are enjoying your writing. But then, of course, William had been the senior editor at the New American Magazine for many years. He's certainly the, I guess he's the main honcho, or maybe the senior editor there at the Republic magazine today. And certainly he writes blogs. He has a tremendous understanding of what's going on. One of the few people who could really has the grasp of this spiritual battle that is being waged today. William, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, Dr. Stan, I really appreciate you sharing that with me and with the audience. That means more than I can adequately express. Thank you. And thank your, as of right now, to me at least, unknown correspondent for his very kind words.
Well, I mean, they were just unsolicited.
Yeah,
I was
wonderful.
Really very, very pleased to see that. So what are we going to be talking about tonight?
I think it's worth reflecting on the utter depravity of the regime that rules us, as has been revealed, well, not revealed, but reinforced and reiterated for our benefit over the last couple of days with the summary execution of an admittedly horrible man, Muammar Gaddafi, who had been elevated to power in 1969 when he was a 27-year-old colonel in Libya through the intervention of the CIA and its siblings in British intelligence. And he spent most of his career as, I think, a rogue. I don't think that the intention was that he would end up becoming sort of a freebooting and broadly Soviet-aligned voice for African nationalism and a certain brand of revolutionary Islam. I think that the relationship he had with the Anglo-American elite, the power elite behind the scenes of a lot of what happened, most of the really consequential things that happened, the relationship Gaddafi had was one of a somewhat embittered nature, because I think that he was seen as ungrateful and somewhat unstable, because he had, I believe somebody was supposed to be brought into the orbit of the Anglo-American power elite. He became a little bit too independent for their taste, but 5, 6, 7 years ago, he was brought back into the fold after the invasion of Iraq, and one of the first things he did was he repudiated the intent for his regime to have an unconventional weapons program, and within a few years, he was overthrown and murdered by somebody who is almost certainly controlled by the people who brought him to power. There's an object lesson there that's not going to be lost on a lot of the autocrats in that part of the world. This is the sort of thing that's going to spur an arms race. And I think that when you talk about the way that the powers that be are cultivating the worst and most radical elements of revolutionary Islam in the region, what's happened in Libya is the sort of thing that's almost certain to envenom relationships with all the autocracies in that region and probably lead to an arms race that's going to be catastrophic, and that might be the larger design.
Well, I think it's, I certainly don't think that too much of Gaddafi, but I certainly think he got a bad rap as far as Pan Am 103. I do not believe that he had anything to do with that coming down, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. Well, William, you pick up the story from there.
I certainly agree with you that the death of Muammar Gaddafi is a tragedy in the sense that the death of any human being could be considered tragic. And Mr. Gaddafi was cut from the same cloth as just about any other ruler in that region. He is a vastly unpleasant man, a dictator, somebody who is bloody-handed, as people who are in positions of similar authority anywhere in the world would be considered bloody-handed. But the fact that he was dragged out of this pipe, injured and unresisting, and the 69-year-old man was summarily executed is certainly nothing to celebrate. This is the sort of a thing that reflects the way that people of his sort are considered disposable, expendable, for the people to bring them to power. The same thing happened with Saddam Hussein, of course. I remember that Nicolae Ceaușescu, who was the Romanian communist tyrant who was in receipt of some singular favors from Washington at a time when we were supposedly fighting the Cold War with the Soviets, he was dragged out along with his wife and executed by a mob in Romania. That's the first thing that popped in my mind by way of comparison. But I want to underscore something about the reaction here that I find just amazing and thoroughly unsettling. And that was the comment, this towel-snapping locker room bravado comment right by Hillary Rodham Clinton, who is the Secretary of State. It's gotten to the point now where the powers that are in charge of the United States seem to want to elevate bloodthirsty women to that position. We've had three of them now. And all three of them have been war hawks and been very much involved in the needless propagation of war and misery. But when Hillary Clinton was getting ready for an interview after Mr. Gaddafi was put to death, she said gloatingly, "We came, we saw, he died." That really doesn't strike me as the type of comment that would be suitable for a diplomatic official of that stature in any circumstance to be offering. But if you take a look at the way that the government ruling us behaves right now, the only material difference between the government in Washington and the government of somebody like Muammar Gaddafi is the scope and extent of the geographic realm over which it presumes to exercise authority. There really isn't a material difference in the way the power is exercised. The difference is the amount of power and the ability to project that power. And the latter, I think, is something which is becoming more and more problematic as the government and the bankrupt condition of the government in Washington becomes more and more difficult to disguise. After a certain point, you can't put the iron on the battlefield if you don't have the gold to pay the people who would deploy that for.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris William is just talking about the fact that certainly we have an empire. We're certainly replacing leaders all throughout the world. We have a great military establishment. We've got only one problem. Certainly we have an empire. We have about 900 bases throughout the world. So we have certainly our troop station, 130 nations. We have special forces. These are really trained killers. It's trained assassins. They're stationed in 75 nations, and if you've got them in your nation, you better toe the line, because these people are trained to kill. And that's what special forces are all about. That's what the military is all about. It's about killing people and destroying things, and they're trained to do that. They do it very efficiently. The difficulty is, of course, that we do not have the funds to continue doing this indefinitely. I mean, we are still occupying Germany. Well over half a century after World War II ended, we're still occupying Japan. Well over a half a century after World War II ended, we're still occupying South Korea. Well over half a century after the war there ended. Why are we occupying these countries? Because we control these countries. You've got American troops on your soil. You are subservient to the United States of America. And remember, of course, that Japan is the third largest economy in the world. I think probably Germany is the fourth largest economy. South Korea would be the sixth or seventh, eighth, maybe largest economy, independent nations. We control all these powerful nations, but they don't want the American people to know that. I just want to briefly comment. Well, we're being told now we can put the story of Pan Am 103 to rest. I mean, basically, of course, it was Gaddafi who was behind this whole thing. But is that true? I mean, most people believe it because we've been told it, but is it true? And I would simply ask the listening audience. Basically, of course, they captured two people and put them on trial for the Pan Am 103 bombing. Remember when Pan Am went down over Lockerbie, Scotland? And basically, one of them, with all the evidence we had against him, was exonerated by a court in Scotland. So there was only one of them was convicted of killing, I don't know, 263, 268 people. And he was sentenced to, because they don't have the death sentence, he was sentenced to life imprisonment. But after 7 years, he was released. Well, it was a compassionate thing. He was dying of cancer of the prostate. So we were going to send him home because he was only going to last for a few months. But, of course, 2 years later, he's getting healthier and healthier. Why would you give a compassionate release to a man who had killed 260-some people? I mean, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Does that sound right? I mean, could it possibly be that we've been lied to, that everybody knows we've been lied to? Well, all you need to do is go up on the Internet and type in Lockerbie squat, Lockerbie, or probably better, Pan Am 103 CIA. Pan Am 103 CIA. You'll find all sorts of articles about how this was a CIA operation. And we brought the plane down. There were some people on it. We wanted to get rid of it. A very convenient method of disposing of people you don't like is to blow up the plane. Now, if this is really true, and because I wasn't there, but I do know that these stories are all out, and they've been there for a long time, and yet, of course, they will never be published in the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Time Magazine, Newsweek Magazine, or mentioned on ABC, CBS, and NBC, because the last thing they want for the American people to know is that our government kills people just to keep them quiet. Go right ahead.
Not only is the case that the government ruling is kills people to keep them quiet, it's also adept at arranging the death of assets who had once been useful but became somewhat of a liability.
You mean like Omar Gaddafi?
Like Muammar Gaddafi, or like Saddam Hussein, or like Slobodan Milosevic. You know, anytime there's this effort to demonize and vilify and to turn a figure, once again, an admittedly loathsome figure of that sort, into the heir apparent or the avatar of Adolf Hitler. What's happening, of course, is the idea that these people have to be disposed of. They're not entitled to a hearing in a forum in which they might say things that are compromising to the interests of the power elite. And the same thing happened with the way that Saddam Hussein was disposed of very, very quickly, as a result of a trial that involved the exercise of his admittedly dictatorial powers in a way that was almost quasi-defensible. He was found guilty of mass murder for executing a number of people in a village where he was the subject of an attempted assassination. And you could say that he was overzealous in pursuing the people who attempted to kill him, but I rather doubt that there is a government on earth that wouldn't have behaved in pretty much the same way if there was evidence that an entire clan of people had been involved in an effort to kill the head of state. You could say that it was disproportionate, but you can't say that this was anything to compare with the way that he treated the Kurds, the way he treated the Shia, or any of the sundry acts of aggression he was involved in that were either greenlit by Washington or facilitated by Washington. He waged a war of aggression against Iran that resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people. That's something that he was abetted in by Washington, and Washington went out of his way to provide material support to him and to Iran to keep the war going for a number of years. That's the way that the cynical realpolitik is played in Washington. And also, of course, the invasion of Kuwait was something that was done with the help, that is to say, the passive assistance of Washington. And there were complications there in terms of what Kuwait was doing by way of provoking Saddam. That doesn't justify the aggression, but it puts it into a broader context. But he was forced to stretch a rope, not for anything that he had done that would be the marquee offenses that we were told characterized his reign, genocidal, mass murder, wars of aggression, support for terrorism. He was put to death for the crime of being disproportionate in dealing with an actual assassination attempt. And this was done in a way that foreclosed the possibility that he would have the opportunity to talk about the way that he had been cultivated by Washington and Britain, and the way that he had received assistance from intelligence, CIA, MI6, etc. He was quieted, he was silenced before he'd have an opportunity to speak on the stand about this. Slobodan Milosevic is somebody who had been Tito's investment banker. He was somebody who knew all the secrets of that realm. He was outer porch insider, I'd say. He certainly knew about all the dirty, despicable, loathsome things that had been done in terms of propping up that regime and the role that was played by the United States, Britain, and Germany in fomenting the wars of secession in the former Yugoslavia. And he died under profoundly unsettling circumstances at The Hague while he was waiting trial at the International Criminal Court, so-called. Manuel Noriega has been put into the deepest and darkest hole this side of Guantanamo, and he's another guy who is up to his neck wattles in drug trafficking as an asset of the CIA, a foul, despicable, if you will, bit player, contract player for the CIA. The United States invaded Panama, which was very easy to do because we've been occupying Panama since the United States, at the behest of Wall Street banking interests, stole counties from sections of Colombia to create Panama in order to build a canal through the isthmus there. he's somebody who also has been very effectively silenced. He hasn't been killed. We hadn't in 1989-1990 gotten to the point where that sort of thing could be done quite as readily as it is now, 20-some-odd years later. But those are three examples. I think the death of Nicolae Ceaușescu is another example of somebody conveniently silenced. He was somebody who was very deeply involved in a lot of the really dingy business that involved international terrorism. He was trained and, of course, supplied and equipped by the Soviet Union, but he was funded by the United States. Ambassador Funderburk had a book. He had been the ambassador to Romania for a long time until he was discharged because he started asking inconvenient questions about the Reagan administration's support for this loathsome, despicable, vile Transylvanian dictator. He was somebody who's put up against the wall and shot before he'd have a chance to disclose what was really going on. And now you can add to that list Muammar Gaddafi. And I think that in the case of Muammar Gaddafi, because you're dealing with somebody who had been just very recently, the last couple of years, fated as a boon companion and an ally in the so-called global war on terror, you're dealing with somebody who had become a real liability, particularly with respect to his relationship with Tony Blair. Tony Blair is, I think, the key to understanding what happened with the fellow who was accused of the Lockerbie bombing. I think that Tony Blair's connections with J.P. Morgan and the way that he was working these deals with J.P. Morgan involving trilateral commerce with Libya and Britain and Russia with respect to various large-scale deals, working as a liaison with J.P. Morgan banking interests, I think that he's breathing a great big sigh of relief right now that Mr. Gaddafi was forced to undergo summary execution before he had a chance to start speaking. If he'd been dragooned off to The Hague to stand trial before the ICC, there's a possibility that some really dingy business, some really malodorous business dealings with Tony Blair might have been ventilated. And Mr. Blair, of course, is a war criminal. He was George W. Bush and Dick Cheney's cohort in arranging the Iraq War, which we're told today is going to be ending by the end of the year, which is, of course, not true. You're going to be seeing troops withdrawn over the horizon back in Kuwait. You're going to see them stationed elsewhere in the region, and this huge contingent of security contractors will be there in this Vatican-sized compound that is the embassy in Iraq. But the reason we were able to get to a colorable disguise of international cooperation in that war was what Tony Blair had done, and he was doing his level best to cultivate Mr. Gaddafi before it was decided to cashier Mr. Gaddafi, and to his benefit that Gaddafi is no longer among the living. That's just how these people roll.
I'm afraid that you're absolutely right. Well, our telephone number goes 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But we'll hold the calls until after the half hour. Our guest, of course, is William Grigg. We're talking about the death of Gaddafi. Remember, he was put in power by the American government in 1969, just exactly as we put Fidel Castro in power in 1959, and we've kept him in power ever since. go right ahead with him.
Something else that I think is...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Lucky, and they could have, of course, sent the special forces to get him. They could have sent the privateers, put a mark of reprisal, legal under the Constitution. But instead of that, they had somebody playing a video game, probably back over there in Las Vegas, where of course you get the screen, you got your drone, and then you could just shoot people and kill them, just like a video game. Only they really kill them, but it wasn't even so bad that they did that, which I think was, of course, quite illegal. I mean, people are entitled to a trial. But then shortly thereafter, they killed his 16-year-old son, who was in Yemen, gone there to find out what happened to his dad. He was on his way home back to the United States, and they killed this 16-year-old boy. What was his crime? Why, he was a relative of this man that they had decided they were going to kill. And basically, how do you justify killing a 16-year-old boy? Well, you don't need justification now when you have unlimited power. Go right ahead, Ray.
Yeah, that's the whole point here, is that the function of the presidency now has been redefined to be entirely indistinguishable from the way that somebody like Colonel Gaddafi would define his power. Saddam Hussein is somebody who fits in that category as well. He once famously said, "Law consists of two lines above my signature," and that's pretty much been the claim of rulers throughout history. That doctrine of executive authority was memorably summarized by Louis XIV, who was the absolutist king of France, the so-called Sun King in the late 17th, early 18th century, when he said, "It is legal because I will it, l'état c'est moi, I am the state. In other words, I am the living Constitution. And during the Bush administration, there was actually a claim being made by people like John Yoo to the effect that once the war powers of the president are activated, and apparently the president can do this at will, that he's not subject to any limitation on his power unless Congress affirmatively acts to rein in what he does. In other words, the default assumption here is that the president can will into existence any powers that he deems suitable to accomplish any end that he considers justifiable, including the detention, the indefinite detention of somebody he would designate an unlawful enemy combatant, or the torture of the same detainee, or the authorization of summary execution of the same detainee. And that's happened now on a handful of occasions. There was this incident in 2002 where a U.S. citizen was killed in Pakistan by a drone strike. And it's not clear whether he was specifically targeted or he happened to be just within the blast radius at a bad time. But the Obama administration is the first in American history to make that claim overt. As we've said before, Dr. Stan, this is the sort of thing that has been done for as long as there has been a United States government. There have been elements within the United States government that have exercised those powers, although they're consummately illegal. But this is the first time where we've actually had a president who's made the claim that he can do this and that it is not subject to any kind of review by Congress, by the courts, or by any power under heaven. And that's exactly the same kind of regime that people like Muammar Gaddafi operate. The biggest difference, once again, is that Mr. Gaddafi, as depraved as he was and as awful as his government was, and of course it's not going to get any better now that it's likely to fall into the hands of these CIA and MI6 trained and equipped radical Islamist insurgents, at least some of whom got their initial battlefield training fighting against the United States forces in Iraq. But as bad as that government is, as loathsome as Mr. Gaddafi is, he never had powers to compare in any way with those exercised by Barack Obama or by George Bush or by just about anybody who would occupy that office. And Hillary Clinton, once again, is somebody who aspired to become America's first female chief executive. Her reaction to the death of Gaddafi, this smirking, triumphalist, vindictive, self-exalting glee that she took in the summary execution of another head of state, tells you something about the nature of the people who were involved in ruling us. There's no sense here that they are in any way limited by law, by the Constitution, by any considerations of human decency. They've transcended all of those things. They've entered into a realm where essentially they're ruled by nothing but their own will and the sufferance of others who are in that same exalted stratum. And that's a horrifying thought, because these are people, once again, who claim the right to kill U.S. citizens anytime that the president sees fit to do so. And, of course, it stands to reason that if they're going to start killing the relatives of enemies of the state, that ultimately nobody is safe, that anybody could be fair game for that type of summary execution by presidential decree. And that's a perfectly horrifying prospect, but unfortunately that's where we're living right now.
Well, of course, our guest is William Grigg, and we're talking about certainly the execution of Gaddafi, who was placed in power in 1969 with the full help and support of our intelligence agencies, just exactly as we brought Fidel Castro to power in 59, the communists to power in 49, and, of course, Saddam Hussein in 79. We'll be back in a moment.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, William, you go right ahead.
There's an essay by Glenn Greenwald. I've referred to him before, and I have a lot of respect for him. Don't always agree with him. We don't see eye to eye on a number of issues, but on civil liberties, he's one of the most perspicuous commentators in the business. Every now and then, he writes, it's worth pausing to reflect on how often we talk about the killing of people by the U.S. Literally, the U.S. government is just continuously killing people in multiple countries around the world. Who else does that? Nobody. certainly nowhere near on this scale. The U.S. president expressly claims the power to target anyone he wants anywhere in the world for death, including his own citizens. He does it in total secrecy and with no oversight, and this power is not just asserted but routinely exercised. The U.S. over and over eradicates people's lives by the dozens from the sky with bombs, with checkpoint shootings, with night raids, in far more places and far more frequently than any other nation or group on the planet. Those are just facts. What's most striking about this is how little effort is needed to induce America's political and media elites to acquiesce to it. The government need do nothing more than utter empty nationalistic phrases such as we're at war and terrorists, and this unparalleled endless state violence all becomes instantly justified. Yesterday, Yemen expert Gregory Johnson wrote about the Awlaki killings. Many Yemenis can understand and disagree with killing the father. You can understand killing the son. There's a principle in law, Dr. Stan, called corruption of blood. That is to say, if somebody is considered a traitor, you don't get to treat his family members, as if they are somehow tainted by being related to the father or to the sibling. But what we just saw here was a corruption of blood execution. Not only was the father murdered summarily without the benefit of any kind of due process, but the son, by virtue of being the blood offspring of the father, apparently, was targeted for execution as well. And that is a dreadful, dreadful precedent. That actually is something that is, I think, steeped in the type of vulgar assumptions about power and collective retribution that go back into pagan antiquity, the sort of thing that the ancient Romans did, or perhaps the sort of thing that the ancient Assyrians...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William was simply talking about the fact that there was this man we claimed was a terrorist, and perhaps he was a terrorist, but he was an American citizen. He was entitled to a trial, but we had him simply killed with a drone. Well, that was something which many people would question, but killing his 16-year-old son separately, sending a drone over there to Yemen to kill his 16-year-old son, how do you justify that? And several other people apparently at a barbecue, you know, were they a threat at the barbecue? A 16-year-old son, well, I think that American people should be incensed, but since, of course, the media is not going to cover this in any detail, they're not going to talk about this over and over and over again. They're not going to focus our attention on it. They're not going to talk about this idea that they can kill anybody's child. In other words, if you do something critical of the government, they can not only kill you, they can kill members of your family as well. And ladies and gentlemen, we seem to have lost sight of what's right and what's wrong. Well, before we go on, William, I'd like you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they get to your blog, how they get to the magazine that you're now the editor of, and how they can get your PayPal button.
Dr. Stan, I really appreciate that. My main outlet, as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, remains my blog, Pro Libertate. It can be found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Pro Libertate is the name of the blog. I mentioned Dr. Stan at the bottom of the blog. There is a PayPal button that people can use if they have the means to donate and interest in donating to help me keep my enterprise an ongoing proposition. I'm really grateful to you and to your listeners for all the help that my family and I have received. It's been a wonderful blessing, and we'll always be grateful for that. Pro Libertate, the blog. The current installment, the current essay, is entitled Steven Pinker's Statist Gospel. Steven Pinker is one of the most outspoken of the so-called new atheists. He is a self-described evolutionary psychologist, but he also deals with language. He focuses a great deal on the use of language and what he considers to be the evolutionary role that's played by this facility that Aristotle identified as setting us apart from the other orders of nature. We'll talk a little bit more about Steven Pinker perhaps in a second, but the gist of this essay is that this fellow Steven Pinker just published a book called The Better Angels of Our Nature. That's a phrase, of course, taken from Abraham Lincoln. And it's his remarkable assertion that since the beginning of the so-called Age of Enlightenment in the mid 18th century, that there has been a precipitous decline in the amount of violence, and that this is an evolutionary watershed, the development of human society. What he doesn't say is that, well, actually he does say this, but he doesn't limb the implications of it, is that, well, perhaps transactional violence at the individual level has declined in terms of assaults that are conducted by one individual, one citizen against another. There's been a vast, truly exponential expansion in the amount of state violence that has been inflicted on humanity. An unprecedented outpouring of state violence that began in the same period of time. But Mr. Pinker, who worships at the altar of the collective, the altar of the state, by his own admission in terms of his philosophical outlook, this is his religion. He doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in the Creator, but he does believe in collective human power. He believes that there's some kind of redemptive function that is carried out through government violence that is somehow making us a better and more enlightened human society, and that this doesn't really count when you're tabulating the trends in violence. If the government exercises a monopoly on violence, that's a redemptive influence in society. That's a religious view, and I'll talk perhaps a little bit more about that in a second. I did want to mention that Republic Magazine can be found at republicmagazine.com, and that's a website that is an entry port, if you will, into the magazine, which can be ordered by way of subscription. You can get it as a physical copy, you can get it as a download, a digital download, or you can get it both as a physical copy and a digital download. The details are on the website. There's a huge selection of DVDs, video and audio products. There's a place on the website where you can attend webinars, that is to say online seminars on various subjects of great interest. Republic Magazine is also on most of the major bookstore newsstands. If you go to Barnes & Noble, for instance, you'll find Republic Magazine there. It's a very large, very thick magazine, and it's published in... how best to put this? It's published through a very low overhead operation, which means that we're trying to get our schedule normalized right now. Subscribers subscribe for a number of issues, so we come out bi-monthly. And what's likely to happen is that within hopefully the next 6 or 7 months, bear in mind, I just was brought on board as the managing editor for Republic a couple of months ago. Hopefully, by the beginning of the year, we'll get to the point where we get the magazine out monthly is our ambition. But that's something which is still in flux right now. But if you subscribe to it, you'll subscribe for a number of installments. And it's very, I believe wholeheartedly, it's very much worthwhile to get Republic because it is a very information-dense resource, as is the Kindred magazine, The Survivalist, which is published, once again, by the same company. That's republicmagazine.com. And in addition to the magazine and the other assets that I mentioned here, we do update the news section of this website 4 or 5 times a day. And if you go to republicmagazine.com right now, the headlines include a story about what's going on in Flint, Michigan, where the Genesee County Sheriff's Office is conducting warrantless drug checkpoints. This really is a remarkable thing. Ten years ago, in the state of Illinois, there was an attempt to conduct warrantless drug checkpoints. In other words, they would simply set up a roadblock and force everybody to undergo an inspection without probable cause, just a wholesale inspection where they bring drug dogs in to inspect trucks and other vehicles. And if you did a U-turn at the last moment in order to avoid that checkpoint, that was considered probable cause. But the Supreme Court actually ruled just 2 or 3 years ago that this is unconstitutional, but this is going on in Genesee County, Michigan right now. And then there's a very similar story, two stories down from this, about the so-called Viper teams, which are these joint task forces presided over by the Transportation Security Administration, the so-called Visible Intermodal Prevention and Response Team. Just a couple of days ago in the state of Tennessee, for the first time, the TSA, which of course are the very kind people who grope and molest you at airports or run you through these carcinogenic backscatter x-ray machines. These people are presiding over multi-jurisdictional or multi-agency saturation patrols in the state of Tennessee for the purpose of inspecting pretty much everything that moves on the highways, and they're also recruiting informants within various trucking companies and so forth. This is, once again, the sort of thing that you would expect to see in a fully realized garrison state type of a society is what was going on in Tennessee. There's two very similar stories of the sort that we cover quite a bit at Republic. And aspirationally, the title refers to what our country should be. We should be a constitutional republic, a decentralized republic of republics. Unfortunately, we've gone in the other direction, and we're now a unitary state of the sort that the founders of the country and the framers of the Constitution tried to avoid. We became a globe-spanning imperial unitary state, and that's the sort of thing that we lament. And Republic is not only a journalistic enterprise, it's also involved in activism. After we get out the current issue, which should be shipping this week, the next issue that we're going to focus on is going to be all about activism. What can we do? What are some positive, substantive steps that people can take in this terrifying economic environment and even more ominous political environment to start beating back the all-encompassing aggression of the powers that be? So within the next month or so, those who subscribe to Republic or pick up a copy on the newsstand after this issue, which is the current issue is devoted to the court system and some atrocities that have been inflicted on innocent people by the berobed dispensers of injustice. The next issue will be dealing with activism, and will tie into a lot of the products that are offered at the website in terms of the DVDs and the webinars and so forth. So check out republicmagazine.com. And I really appreciate, Dr. Stan, the platform you give me to promote the magazine and your interest in it and support for it. It's something we really appreciate.
All right, you go right ahead.
I've been talking about the Steven Pinker fellow. Let me talk about him a little bit more in depth. Mr. Pinker was born in Montreal, Canada. And he says that at age 13, he converted to atheism. He's never been a particularly religious person to begin with, in the sense of religion having to do with the Creator and with an ethical code that's rooted in revealed truth, such as the Ten Commandments. He was raised in an anarchist environment of a left-wing variety, and so by the time he was 12 or 13 years old, he was spending most of his time in that demimonde. He decided that he didn't believe in God, but he did believe in the state. And this new book, once again, the title of it is The Better Angels of Our Nature. This new book is devoted to the idea that during the last 2.5 centuries, roughly, you know, since the age of Voltaire and the Encyclopedias of Voltaire and Leibniz and, of course, Rousseau, who didn't see eye to eye with Voltaire about much, but they both agreed that they wanted to destroy Christian civilization. That since that time, there has been this remarkable transformation of human society in the direction of doing away with violence. And what he says, by way of an overture to this theme, is that people who live in contemporary societies no longer have to worry about abduction, to sexual slavery, divinely commanded genocide, lethal circuses and tournaments, punishment on the cross, the rack, the wheel, the stake, or strapato for holding unpopular beliefs, decapitation for not bearing a son, disembowelment for having dated a royal, pistol duels to defend their honor, or the prospect of a nuclear world war that would put an end to civilization or to human life itself. Just to start with the last element first, yes, as a matter of fact, we do have to worry about a nuclear world war, and that's something that you can't blame pre-Enlightenment, quote-unquote, Christendom for, because that's a gift. The prospect of nuclear war is a gift that was given to us by people of Mr. Pinker's persuasion. One of the reasons why the Second World War was prolonged so long, I am convinced, is that Alger Hiss and the other people in the FDR administration, who were communists by way of conviction and outlook, desperately wanted to create a pretext for bombing Japan at a time when Japan had been trying to surrender for over a year. And the second of those bombs was dropped on Nagasaki, which is where all the Christian refugees live. They managed to incinerate, in a matter of nanoseconds, almost the entire Christian population of Japan. And I think that that was not incidental to their purposes. But that's something we definitely live under, is the prospect here of the policies of these enlightened democratic saviors in Washington and elsewhere giving birth to some kind of a catastrophe that could involve a nuclear exchange. one of the reasons why I'm so worried about what's going on in Pakistan, for instance. But to deal in a more specific way with a really potent example of why Pinker is so tragically wrong about this, in 2007, Mr. Pinker gave a lecture as part of the so-called TED or TED series, where he was talking about the findings that would later on be incorporated into this book, Better Angels of Our Nature. He said that a century or so ago, some of his audience may have been burned at the stake for criticizing the king after a trial that maybe lasted 10 minutes, which, of course, is not true. You'd probably have to go back a millennium or so in order to find, well, not a minute, half a millennium, 15th, 16th century, late Dark Ages, early Middle Ages, to find an example of people being put to death on the at the stake merely for compassing the death of the king or opposing him or committing lèse majeste. However, think about what we were just discussing a few minutes ago, Dr. Stan. A U.S. citizen whose only act was to criticize the foreign policy of the United States government and to preach as a cleric, as a Muslim cleric, that Muslims have the right to defend against the aggression of American foreign policy. You don't have to accept that characterization. That's immaterial, whether you happen to accept that characterization or not. The point was he was making a point rooted in a concept of self-defense that criticized the foreign policy of the United States government. That was considered to be a blasphemy of such magnitude that he wasn't entitled to so much as a trial. Pinker pointed out that in the High Middle Ages, if you committed a blasphemy against the supposed divine authority of the king, you get a perfunctory trial. Anwar al-Awlaki didn't get a trial of any sort. And when his parents, when his father and his family tried to file a writ of habeas corpus, tried to file for an injunction against the government, trying to keep them from summarily executing him, the federal government said that nobody had standing to challenge the president's decision, that no court had the authority, that the Congress doesn't have the authority, and certainly nobody who's a mere civilian would have the right to challenge the president's decision summarily to put this individual to death. So that's a really interesting contrast here. You know, Mr. Pinker seems to think that a government capable of doing that kind of thing, and as Glenn Greenwald pointed out, the government ruling us does this kind of thing constantly, that government is somehow a more civilized and more humane instrument of social policy than what we saw in the pre-Enlightenment so-called Christian era. What I'd say is that any government in which you have fallen and frail and sinful men exercising power over others is liable to that type of abuse. It doesn't matter whether it calls itself a monarchy, doesn't matter whether it calls itself a democracy or a revolutionary state of some kind. The fact is that human nature has not changed. And government being the largest of all reflections on human nature, as James Madison pointed out, we're going to see an expansion, an escalation of that tendency for violence. The larger the state grows, the more power that it acquires. And Pinker's prescription is to give the government a monopoly on the legitimate use of force. That's Lenin's description, of course, power without limit resting directly on force. We have that kind of government when the President of the United States can order the summary execution by remote-controlled drone and a missile strike of not only a citizen of the United States who has offended him by criticizing his foreign policy, but also the firstborn son and heir of that citizen. Simply because of that blood relationship, we see a regime that combines modern technology with the worst of pagan pre-antiquity assumptions about the unlimited power of rulers.
But I see, where is the outcry from the American people? Where is the outcry of indignation from the leaders of the opposition Republican Party? And, of course, it is deafening in its silence. Our guest this evening has been William Grigg, and I hope you've been listening to what he's been talking about. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen, because America has lost its moral foundation. Where are our religious leaders speaking out? Oh, well, of course, Rick Warren speaking out. He wants people to lose weight. That's what it's all about. We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead, William.
I'm sorry, Dr. Stan, but that parting shot about Rick Warren and his priorities is so perfect.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.